Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This guy flying back, he's joined us all year long one more time after a heartbreaker.
This guy's on the inside. Now, here's Green Bay football insider Ryan Wood on The Fan.
Brought to you by PNC Insurance. PNC Insurance, an independent insurance agency for all your home, auto, and commercial business needs. Visit them at pc-insurance.net.
And this hour on The Fan is brought to you by Tally's Tap and Eatery in Waukesha. Great homemade meals serving up 65-cent wings on Monday, plus $3 premium tap beers. Tally's Tap and Eatery on Sunset Drive in Waukesha. Follow them on Facebook. Ryan Wood's up on the Wendy's Big Show. At By Ryan Wood is where you follow him on social media. Ryan, a just physically imposing San Francisco 49er team, beats up the Green Bay Packers exactly how they did the first time.
Yeah, so you know, we're supposed to break this down intellectually and really dive into it. And it was about midway through the second quarter where it just all dawned on me. And I tweeted out, it's just real simple. There's no one covering anything here. One team is just vastly better than the other. And that's all there is to it. The end.
And it
matters are much better.
And it's very frustrating. And Ryan, I mean, I already been called a fat little baby on the show today because of how frustrating it can be. But when you get beat like that, there's no other way than just being able to look at the downside of it and where possibly they can move from here. But then you look at that, and it does bring some optimism, at least it did from the guys at the podium last night.
Yeah, I think that this team has a very different feel than the last time they were on this stage after 2016. Aaron Rodgers articulated that after the game. I also think that this loss is very different than the one in 2014 when the Packers were the better team in Seattle and should have won that game and knew that. They know that they're not the better team. I mean, look, they gave up 37 points in November, the most all season. They have a players-only meeting the very next day upon returning from San Francisco. They feel like they've gotten all the miscommunication, all the problems fixed. They go back to San Francisco, and they give up 37 points again. Like, it just doesn't. They were not fast enough. I think the speed gap was the biggest difference in these two teams. They were not fast enough on either side of the ball, especially the second level of that defense, to contend with the 49ers. Their run game. I mean, give the 49ers credit what they built there. They basically built a Super Bowl team that doesn't need a quarterback. That's incredible.
That's exactly what they did.
And they built it with line play. Offensive line play and defensive line play. We talked about last week that being the key to the game, and it was. It just simply was. You had Tyler Lancaster out there far more than you wanted to have him out there because you got stuck playing a base 3-4, which you haven't played most of the year, and you got exposed because of it.
That's the amazing thing about Raheem Mostert's 29 carries for 220 yards and 4 touchdowns. From the very first snap of the game on to the very end, Packers were in base defense the entire time.
Yep.
They absolutely knew that this was a 49ers team that did not plan to they weren't all that interested in throwing the football. They're just going to line up and run the ball and run the ball and run the ball. And they knew it was coming. They couldn't stop it. That's the amazing thing. It's not just the numbers. I mean, the numbers are amazing on their own. But the Packers absolutely knew what was going to happen. They just couldn't do anything about it.
So there's a lot of people talking Mike Pettine should be fired because he made no adjustments. And then I did see something where Matt LaFleur said, but we played with a one high safety, and he just wasn't sure what was going on. So it's not exactly that they didn't make any adjustments, but they knew that they were going to get ran on. They had another guy in the box.
What is Mike Pettine schematically supposed to do other than – get into your run personnel with 3 down linemen, 2 traditional inside linebackers, beef up in the box, and try to stop the run. What else is he supposed to do schematically? I'm at a loss. I don't know schematically what else there is to do other than what he did. The issue is that they weren't fast enough. They didn't have the speed. And, frankly, they got whooped up front, and then they didn't have the speed on the second level to contend with the run game. If you're just not fast enough, and that's what it looks like, Kyle Shanahan knew it, and he was disinterested in doing anything except exploiting the weakness of the Packers defense.
Ryan Wood at By Ryan Wood, Green Bay Press Gazette and PackersNews.com. He joins us here the day after the Packers get bounced in the NFC title game on the Fan.
The thing that really shocked me that neither quarterback was effective, and it wasn't put on either quarterback to win the game for you. I thought that, and I was wrong, I admit it, I thought that the experience of Aaron Rodgers would prove large in a game that was so perfect. The one team that you can beat to go to the Super Bowl. And then I look at his first half numbers, and it was a head scratcher. They just never really got a chance to. I didn't even know Devontae got a target the first half. I just don't know what was the game plan. Was it to run it? If we get behind it, we'll throw it. But it just seemed to be it never got to the point to where Aaron Rodgers can do some magic like he used to a decade ago or 8 years ago. It just never came to that.
He had Devontae Adams had one target, one catch, 7 yards in the first half. Look, we knew what the issue was with this roster all year. What's the weak spot? The skill players. So when your best receiver, your one true viable threat, has one catch on one target for 7 yards in the first half, there's nobody else to step up at all, which means that Aaron Rodgers has 64 passing yards at halftime and 0 points. They just didn't have anybody else to step up. And Aaron Rodgers kind of alluded to it last night. He said he understands that there's going to be changes on offense. But it's going to be a massive overhauling of this roster at the skill positions. And, oh, by the way, it's not just receiver and tight end. Because what do the 49ers have? They come at you in waves in their offensive backfield. Last night it was Raheem Mostert who played the game of his life. But if not him, it could have been Tevin Coleman if he hadn't gone down with an injury. Matt Breida has led this team in rushing. They've had three running backs lead this team in rushing this year. If you take away Tevin Coleman, you can still have Raheem Mostert go off. If you took Aaron Jones away, if he got hurt, what is this run game? They have none.
Right.
And so for Matt LaFleur to get this Packers team, this Packers offense, where he can maximize his scheme and run the ball the way he wants to do, Aaron Jones is a phenomenal player, 23 touchdowns in 18 games this year. Phenomenal season. He's one guy. The 49ers have three. They've got to not just receiver and tight end. They've got to add talent to the offensive backfield as well and get more depth there.
Packers could have had Tevin Coleman for the same deal the Niners had him for, and they didn't get it done. So it wasn't like they drafted Coleman or they signed him to a huge contract. They got him for bargain basement price and took advantage of it. So that's a goody for not taking advantage of that situation. When you look at this Packers team, we talked about it earlier. This front office has to decide, in my opinion, Ryan, that either they're going to build this team to get better just in general, right, and to wide receiver, running back, like all the things you were talking about, or are they going to build it to beat the 49ers? One or the other. We talked about the Atlanta Falcons earlier, but they made a huge move for Julio Jones years ago trying to beat the Green Bay Packers. If this is about trying to beat the San Francisco 49ers, then they got to figure out what they're going to do on the defensive side of the ball to slow that running game down.
Well, there's one glaring hole there, right? And that's speed on the second level.
Yes.
Speed at inside linebacker. There's a reason why this team was interested in drafting Devin Bush had he been available at 12 and not gone at 10 this past spring. Mm-hmm. They know that they need speed at that second level. But there is, you know, it took 18 games, but finally some bad luck did arrive in this Packers season. Because for 5 years now, this front office has obsessed over adding pass rush and bolstering that pass rush to the point where it's a Super Bowl-level type pass rush. They finally do that. This is a pass rush that could have gone to the Super Bowl. The Smiths, Kenny Clark inside, they have a lot of productivity, a lot of talent. They've got guys that offensive lines have to be fearful of going into a game rushing the passer. And what do they do? But in the NFC Championship game, on the doorstep of the Super Bowl,
they get walked.
Run into a team that literally doesn't throw the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Garoppolo had as many pass attempts as Aaron Rodgers had incompletions yesterday. So of all the teams to play, you spent all this time bolstering, getting your pass rush to where it is, and you go against a team that's going to run the ball all but eight plays. Mm-hmm. Not a great matchup for them. You know, a little unlucky there. But look, 49ers are just better.
Well, and Ryan, it was clearly a bad matchup for Za'Darius Smith as well, because George Kittle, I mean, they pretty much matched up George Kittle on that side every single time, wherever they wanted to run the ball to. You saw 85 there, and you saw him set the edge, and the Packers were unable to get the edge at all defensively.
Yeah, no, they got beat up front. You can see that in the fact that so much of Raheem Mostert's yardage came before first contact. I mean, these were wide open, gaping holes that just allowed, I mean, he's fast enough as it is. Look at that first touchdown run, the 36-yarder on 3rd and 8. He was a sprinter. He wasn't a running back. He was out of the blocks, running a 36-yard sprint to the end zone. When you have a guy that fast running that hard downhill, unimpeded, and he can just full bore use his speed, that's what happens. And so much of that first half, especially, it felt like he was just on the verge every time he touched the ball, of breaking one every single time. Because they got whooped up front, huge holes, and they didn't have the speed in the second level to contend with it.
Well, so let me ask you this then. Coming back next year, what do you make of this team? Is it Super Bowl or bust? I mean, could they take a step back? I mean, do we really know what this team is all about?
I think the reality is that this team could get better next year and maybe not get to this point, because they had everything go right for them along the way. They were healthy the entire season. Think about the first Lions game. They get two phantom calls that give them the win. You go back, you know, over the course of the year, there were a lot of breaks they got. Usually it doesn't repeat itself from year in, year
Look
out.
At Chicago.
It reminds me of 2014 when the Packers were 5 minutes from the Super Bowl, felt really good coming back, brought the entire team back. The entire 53 came back for 15. And what happened in the preseason that year? Jordy Nelson tears his ACL. All of a sudden, completely different team. You just never know what's going to happen from year to year. That's the frustration for this team. If the opponent you're playing is better than you, the better than you. Not much you can do about that. But to get this close, have everything go right, and not be able to get over the hump, that's the frustration.
What happens with Brian Bulaga?
I would imagine that he played himself into another contract. I think it'll be interesting. It's obviously early. You know, David Bakhtiari, I spoke with him last night, and obviously they're extremely close. It's kind of amazing to think about this offensive line without Brian Bulaga, because, I mean, at some point you're kind of left with, you know, David Bakhtiari and to an extent Corey Linsley be the last remaining guys from you know, just a few years ago. I mean, it's kind of had a lot of turnover. But the way that he played this year, I would imagine the Packers would be interested in keeping him back. He stayed healthy. He played at a high level. It's really fortuitous timing for him.
Ryan Wood, what about Blake Martinez? That sure felt like a goodbye to Packer Nation last night at his locker.
I don't know that I've ever seen a player cry immediately after a game who is going into impending free agency the way that we saw with Blake Martinez last night. That was something that I don't know if I've ever seen in 6 years now of covering this team. Gave me the sense that maybe he saw the writing on the wall. Now, that's a complete guess. I'm just telling you how it kind of felt to be standing next to him and talking to him in the moment. I asked him specifically, do the tears mean that you don't feel like you'll be coming back? And he said, you know, it's up to them. You'll see what they want to do, and he'd love to be back. But, you know, I don't think he knows. But if it was promising, I have a hard time thinking that it would have been that emotional for him.
Right. How do they move on from him, though? So that means they got to go get somebody in free agency. Do they draft somebody in first round? I mean, I don't know. You trot out a rookie in that starting spot at the beginning of the year next year.
I agree. It's going to be interesting.
That's odd.
You know, they need more speed on that second level with or without Blake Martinez.
Right.
I don't think that means that they need to get rid of Blake Martinez. I think they drafted Oren Burks to be the speed guy that can kind of protect Blake Martinez and take responsibilities that shouldn't go to him. A lot of those he was doing. They need to find a guy that, you know, if they keep Blake Martinez, they need to find a guy to kind of cover him up with speed and have them work in tandem more than what they've had. But, yeah, I think they need more inside linebackers, not less, especially because the 49ers are going away, and you're going to need off-ball linebackers to be contending with that run game.
Hey, did Mike Pettine, has he ever run a 4.3? Do you know? Can he do that?
He's multiple, so yeah, he can do both. And even I think Za'Darius Smith also helps with that because
Za'Darius.
Well, hold on, just Za'Darius, what now?
He put the hand to the ground.
Yeah, he has.
I ain't no more experiments with me. No, I ain't doing that.
So can Za'Darius and Preston, can they play in a 4-3?
Oh, man, come on.
He can play interior and he can play outside linebacker, so that helps them be multiple. He's a multiple. Now, he's really gotten into the Packers, like most defense coordinators in the league.
Mm-hmm.
He's gotten into this hybrid nickel with, five defensive backs and switching up the defensive fronts to kind of have a hybrid nickel base. But
go get Dom Capers.
He's multiple.
Okay.
Ryan, appreciate
thanks
it, man.
Thanks for asking the question, Brian. Appreciate it.
We appreciate
some
you.
Stuff we just shouldn't even ask people.
What should we have asked them then, Roy? Well, you tell us after the break. Ryan, appreciate your work, man, all year long. Get home safe from California.
I want to hear from Roy now.
But we all do. We all wish we knew what he was saying.
I'll call you because they faking right. Today, man.
All right, man. That's Ryan Wood joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline at Byron Roy. By Ryan Wood, where you find him on Twitter.
Square pigs and all these round. We're not doing that anymore.
Ryan,
you want to go to 4-3? Go get a 4-3 defensive coordinator.
Correct.
Don't be going and telling him to do all. No, man. Just start over.
What we're talking about is, do they have the personnel to go to a 4-3 if they were to get a D coordinator?
Let him figure it out. You know what I'm saying?
The coordinator?
Yeah. Get a new guy, and he'll come in and make that. Yeah. Now we're making a guy keep the personnel he wants. That was the problem with Dom Capers, right?
Yep.
I mean,
I agree.
They say, you want our linebacker? Okay, great. They went and got, Daytime Jones?
Yeah.
Make him a linebacker.
Then they grabbed you Mike Neal. Congratulations.
Well, both of those guys were defensive tackles
in
college.
Yeah.
And then the guy, they had me draft Gary, me and you went to New York from Michigan State.
Worthy.
He was
a defensive tackle, but he was good at Michigan State.
I thought
State.
He was a badass Beast. At Michigan State.
But you know
State.
What he did? Oh. You know what he did? It was weird. He lost a bunch of weight when turned pro.
That's
when he got into the league
he lost a bunch of weight.
You got to be big now.
He was
now,
a big dude at Michigan State, and then he lost it
penetrated.
All.
What was he trying to... Find a lady or something?
Maybe
his Instagram page or something. No, he has some issues, though. He has some death in his family.
Oh, okay. Well, let's be honest. They haven't had the big-time beef that they've needed in the middle since B.J. Raji left.
True.
But that would help.
Well, that size would help.
Because for a minute, didn't you have B.J. Raji and Picker at the same time?
Mm-hmm, yeah, for the whole Super Bowl run.
Need.
That was beef, and then you brought in Howard Green whenever you needed him.
A big hello to Nada. Just you ain't gonna make no tackles. Just make sure you don't get on 50.
Keep his jersey clean.
Get 5 holding calls because you grabbing linemen from stopping from hitting my linebacker.
That's the most fun position to play.
You know
what
Ray Lewis used to tell those guys? They better not touch me.
Well, it's the same thing that happened to the Bears defense once Akeem Hicks was out of their scheme for 9 weeks.
Do you ever remember one lineman ever hit number 54 for Chicago?
Mm-mm.
Never.
Because Tommy Harris ate all of them up.
No. He would. Man, come on. You got to get back there if you want to stop the run. The lineman up there had to be the Gilbert Browns. That's the only reason why I'm a finalist. Because of Gilbert Brown and Santana Dobson, Reggie White, and Sean Jones. That's the only reason. Now, they may not get the headlines, but that's the truth.
G-R-U-F-F.
There you go. That's perfect.
Truth. I'm straight 100.
And they're straight 100 with you at Great Midwest Bank. If you have realized that your passion has outgrown your home, a Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit GreatMidwestBank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. We'll get back to the reaction and the therapy next. But first, Dean Murray and the Jewelry Center.
Yes, 3 locations.
That's a real 76
Lake Plaza in Brookfield. Off Bluemont Road and Tri-City National Bank Building. 3rd location for you folks in Burlington, Wisconsin. Guys, go see my good friend today, Dean Murray, 76 and Layton Plaza. He's there, always there, to take your business, to serve you, to help you get the best possible deal on a piece of jewelry. Dean Murray is the owner. That's right, guys. I'm sending you straight to the top.
Straight.
And he can help you. If you're spending your money at another jewelry store, you're spending too much money. I'm telling you right now, go see my man, Dean Murray, at the Jewelry Center, 3 locations, 76 and Layton Plaza in Brookfield off of Blue Mile Road and Tri-City National Bank Building, and a third location for you folks in Burlington, Wisconsin.
414-799-1250. When the Wendy's Big Show returns, your opportunity to talk Packers with two foreign Packers, Gary Ellerson and Leroy Butler on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.